Say big at Menards and keep cool in the summer heat with a new window air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Featuring 3 fan cooling speeds and a remote control, allowing you to cool your space from anywhere in the room. Save big money on Denali Air. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, there's something strange about the little house on Maple Grove Road.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there, thank you very much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with us, that would be great. You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want to. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper's with me today.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good today. I'm a little burned out. This past week has been really, really busy, but that's okay because this coming week will be much better.
That's good.
You know how sometimes everything just kind of lands in the same week? Or You said yes to too many things, and then you're like, why did I say yes to all of those things? And you kind of regret it. That was the week I had. I'm like, I said yes to way too many things. But that's okay. I helped raise money for animals. I did a benefit for animal rescue, and I did another benefit that helps people provide respite care for people who have neurological disorders so their caregivers can take a break. So I helped them raise some money too.
That's good.
Yeah. Everything with you good?
Yeah.
You took a little trip to Branson.
Yeah, we went to Silver Dollar City, and we also did the mountain coast, like one of the 3 mountain coasters that's in Branson. I remember when I used to live there, just like how much fun those things were. So if you haven't done a mountain coaster in Branson yet, highly recommend. They're all great. Just pick one.
Is that like something that's at Silver Dollar City?
No, I mean, they're just kind of like located like all around.
But they're mountain coasters, you said?
Yeah.
So like it's a roller coaster?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's really like, it's kind of like more like a thrill ride than anything. Like it doesn't go upside down by any means. And there's like really usually no drops whatsoever. It's usually just kind of like a quick ride with like a few like swirlies, not like.
Oh my God, I just looked at it. And it's like you're doing it through a really wooded area.
Yeah.
So it's a little, maybe kind of the concept of zip lining, but you're not zip lining. You're on more of a little car thing.
And it's kind of cool because you can control your speed with like levers that are beside you.
Oh, wow. It's really cool.
Yeah. And we all went with like a big group of people. And so like some of my group was still going up the hill. Well, I was just like full speed ahead downhill.
Now, did you like it?
I loved it.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Because I think I could do that. You and I did a few rides when you were here at the carnival.
Yeah.
But that one I think I could do.
Oh, I think you'd like it.
Okay. That's really cool. It's sort of a roller coaster concept, but just for like one little car thing. Is it just one per person, or you can do two in a car maybe?
Well, you can't do two in a car, but it's kind of like a two-seater go-kart in a sense if you do.
That would be a kid.
It'd be like an adult and a kid.
Well, that's about the coolest thing ever. Yes, I would love to do that sometime.
Yeah, we should totally make a point to do that sometime.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this ghost story today. And it says, our family owns a little yellow house on Maple Grove Road. My second cousin Savannah lives there now, but it's been in the family since her granddad hammered the first boards together in the late 1940s. Nobody outside of our family has ever called it home, yet every branch of the family tree has some story about the place that kind of makes your skin crawl. Here are the ones we still bring up at reunions, usually after the kids are asleep. The weirdness started with Savannah's younger brother, Mason. When Mason was about 2 and just learning to put words together, he kept pointing at the plaster and saying, "Water in the walls." Everyone figured he was mangling a sentence he'd heard on TV. Then his diction improved, and we realized he was saying, "Walter in the walls." No one in our family, living or dead, has ever been named Walter. Still, Mason talked about him like he was part of the household. At bedtime, he'd whisper, "Walter's walking," and trace little circles on the wallpaper as if following footsteps only he could hear. If you tried to brush it off, he'd double down and say, "He's right there. Can you feel it?" We chalked it up to a vivid toddler imagination, and then other things started happening. By the time he was preschool age, Mason added a new character, talking about the boy who lives under my bed. According to him, this kid liked to slide his bare feet out just far enough for Mason to see. Mason never said the boy spoke or crawled out. He would just see the feet. My aunt once checked during daylight. There was no dust prints or scuff marks. There was nothing. But Mason swore the kid was real and asked if we could leave an extra snack so he won't be hungry. Again, easy to tag as childhood imagination, but we stopped dismissing it the night of the cars. So one Saturday, Mason and his older brother Eli were sleeping over at Grandma's so their parents could go on a date. They came home late, more than a little drunk, navigated the dim hallway to their bedroom. No toys were on the floor. They both swear to that. The next morning, they got up, opened the bedroom door, and nearly tripped over every one of Mason's Matchbox cars. The tiny cars were lined up nose to tail in a perfect single-file row stretching from the boys' bedroom door down the entire hallway. Not angled, not scattered, but in a straight line. The kids were at Grandma's, and the parents remembered stumbling through that hallway without stepping on anything. Even drunk, they would have kicked at least one car out of alignment. Eli, the older brother, had his own problems in the room across the hall. Years earlier, our great uncle, an unrepentant garage sale hoarder, brought over an antique medicine cabinet mirror he'd found for a dollar. My aunt put it above Eli's dresser, and from the first night, Eli hated the thing. He said the room felt crowded when the lights went out, like someone else was standing between the dresser and his bed. Objects started wandering around the house. Homework sheets would be found under the mattress, game cartridges stacked in the closet, a baseball rolling into the middle of the floor at 3 a.m. Eli discovered an odd fix by accident. One night, he draped a bright red silk shirt that was left behind by a cousin after a wedding over the mirror. That night, nothing moved. He left the shirt up and the activity stayed quiet. He would take it down and the stuff shifted around again. Eventually, everyone got tired of saying whatever it is, so the whole family started calling the culprit Walter. It seemed easier to blame one entity than juggle 24 possible ghosts. When Mason was 9 and Eli was 12, my aunt's job transferred her out of state. They packed up, rented that yellow house to Savannah, and left Walter behind. Almost overnight, Mason stopped talking about Walter in the walls or the boy under the bed. He never once mentioned seeing feet sticking out from under the bed. Eli kept the red silk shirt in a drawer for months just in case, but the mirror stayed behind and so did the disturbances. Savannah swears life in the house is mostly normal now, although she still hears muffled taps in the hallway after midnight. None of us is convinced Walter's gone. Maybe he's dormant. Maybe he's busy teaching some other kid hide and seek. So that's the quick version of why the Maple Grove house still sits half empty most holidays. We visit, we swap stories, we double check the mirrors, and we keep an eye on the walls just in case Walter decides he wants attention again. I think the creepiest part of that whole story is the parents coming home drunk to an empty house. The kids are not there. And all those they get to the bedroom fine, and in the morning, all those matchbox cars are lined up.
Okay, yeah.
That part is so creepy.
The creepiest part for me is definitely Walter in the walls, like, and the kid going, like, he's right there. Don't you feel him? I would have ran out of the house.
And I think so often,
in seconds,
you do just dismiss that stuff. It's like, oh, kids, you know, kids in their imagination. But there was enough other activity that it was not a child's imagination, I don't think.
Okay, but it was, like, specifically within the walls. Like, not, like, standing in front of the wall, in the walls.
Yeah. And then that weird mirror, that maybe that wasn't even haunted. Maybe that was a trigger object for a spirit that was already in the house. Maybe it was Walter triggered by this mirror.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. It looked like a mirror Walter used to own. I don't know. But that's just weird. I don't like it at all. But those matchbox cars being all lined up like that.
That's creepy. I don't like that.
And that's the kind of thing, number one, you would have stumbled into that.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have hurt. If you would have stepped on one of them and you don't know they're there, that's the kind of thing that hurts. So I don't know. I think that place is super haunted. And I like that everybody in the family, it's still kind of like a family house and everybody still talks about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, here's our next story.
Hello, this is Steven calling from South Korea, originally from Indiana, USA. Been living in South Korea for the last 16 years. I have a story. My first year living in Korea, I lived in a town called Suwon. And during my second month, I remember I had a really, really unusual experience. I was living in a three-story villa. I lived on the first floor. I lived by myself. The villa that I lived in included a bedroom, kitchen, and a bathroom. Pretty simple. Well, one night when I was sleeping, I remember having this really unusual dream, except it wasn't a dream. What happened was I was laying in my bed, and in the corner of my room, I saw two dark figures standing in the corner. It was a silhouette of two black figures. One was taller than the other, and I remember hearing a voice coming from the figure. The taller figure sounded like a deep, angry man's voice speaking in Korean to me, and I couldn't understand a word he was saying or whatever was being said because at the time I was just learning the language of Korean. So I remember I'm sitting up, half awake, half asleep, and I respond basically saying to the figure in the corner of the room, "My name is Steven, I am sorry." And then I just laid back down, and suddenly I woke up 100%, sat straight back up, looked back at the corner of the room, and there was nothing there. But it felt so real. It didn't feel like a dream. It was almost as if I was dreaming of being in my room in the dream. And so, sure enough, I wrote it off as just a dream. But I distinctly remember two dark figures standing in the corner of my bedroom. One looked like a taller man, and the other looked like a shorter person, the silhouette of a female figure. And one other thing I remember, there was this faint reddish glow coming up from underneath them, coming up from behind them. And that's how I was able to make out their silhouette. I don't know where the red glow came from. I have no idea, but that's not the end of the story. About 6 months later, when my girlfriend was over with me in my apartment, and we were sitting on my bed talking. My back was facing the wall. I was facing her. my girlfriend talks to me, and suddenly, as she's talking to me, she looks over my shoulder, and her eyes are following along the wall. And all she says is, "Oh, shit." I look at her, and I look over behind my shoulder, and I see nothing. So I ask her, what did you see? She said she saw a kind of a hunched over, shadowy figure just walking along the wall behind me and disappeared. And this is while we were wide awake, mind you.
And then it just mysteriously ends right there.
Ew.
Ew. I think that's interesting. So there is definitely some confirmation that what he had originally was not just a dream.
No, that was definitely not just the dream.
But I have to wonder, before it mysteriously ended like that, was there another encounter? You know, was this something that they started seeing more regularly?
I really want to know. I really hope he, like, calls in again.
And he told it in a super spooky way, like his voice and everything. You know, I was feeling it. But, you know, that there's that weird feeling like, okay, that could be sleep paralysis, but it sure felt 100% real. And I've had that happen.
And what it kind of sounds like is almost like, as he said, the taller male-looking figure. It almost kind of sounded like he was assumedly standing next to, like, the figure was standing next to maybe, like, his wife, I'm assuming. Or
oh, yeah,
something.
It could be.
And what it sounded like was almost kind of like, it's like, you know how, like, in movies where there's, like, an intruder in the house and the owner of the house is kind of like, get out of my house? That's what it kind of sounded like to me.
Oh, could be. And maybe it's, like, some sort of residual thing that doesn't happen all the time, but you just sort of encountered them from time to time?
Yeah, because, like, who knows the history of that house or villa?
That's one thing I find so interesting about paranormal things is it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I think people from all walks of life, from all corners of the world have had these experiences.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in Korea or in Kansas or Arkansas. You know, you can still have these really intense experiences. And for his girlfriend to see that as well, I don't know if that would make me feel comforted because, hey, I'm not crazy, or kind of scared because, hey, I'm not crazy and I really did see something and what the hell is it?
Well, you can be two things true at the same time. The relief of not being insane and also the fear of that being real.
Exactly. And what do you do with the information if you know it's real? Does that make you feel any better? I don't know. And especially, I never really thought about a haunting, you know, if you're in Korea and they're speaking Korean and now they're haunting me and they're talking. I don't know what the hell they're saying. That's kind of spooky too, because there's a haunting going on. And what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, are you talking about my outfit or are you talking about murdering me? What is it? There's a big difference there. I hope it's about my outfit.
I know, right? Instead of like, hey, I like your jeans, it's like, I will murder you.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber. Get the advance episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, patreon.com/realghoststories. Or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.